This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
On the night of November 14, 1997, 14-year-old Rena Virk, a troubled Victoria High School student, was swarmed and beaten by a group of teenagers and eventually killed. Six girls aged 14 to 16 were sentenced in 1998 for their roles in the initial beating. Warren Glawatsky, 17 years old at the time, was convicted of second-degree murder a year later, and Kelly Allard stood trial three times in connection with Rena Virk's death. The Supreme Court of Canada upheld Kelly Allard's third conviction in June 2009.
In the years since Rena's death, Suman and Manjeet Virk have worked against bullying, and they were recently awarded British Columbia's highest honor for community safety and crime prevention, the Anthony J. Hume Award of Distinction. Manjeet Virk has also written a book about his experiences titled Rena, A Father's Story. Manjeet's book has been shortlisted for the George Riga Award for Social Awareness in Literature to be announced Saturday, November the 7th in Vernon, British Columbia.
And Manjeet Virk joins us on the phone today. Welcome to People First Radio, Manjeet.
Thank you.
Congratulations to both you and Suman for receiving the Anthony J. Hume Award of Distinction.
Thanks a lot. It's a real privilege.
BC's Minister of Public Safety, Cash Heed, presented this award to you, and he said, "With amazing strength that inspired many, the Virks turned their personal tragedy into an opportunity to help others." Tell us about how that happened.
Well, you know, the tragedy took a toll on us physically and mentally, emotionally. And then when we could deal with it over the passage of time, we thought about it very seriously, what we have gone through and how our young people are lashing out and they need direction and help. So we thought, you know, we could be a basket case and just sit and wrap ourselves up in misery. Then we realized that how can we help other kids, other youth in the province, in the country, to share our story and our pain and let them know that crime, when you have bullying issues, you have violence, it's not against one person. It's such a ripple effect that it goes on forever and many lives are affected. So we started to share our story in the school system. Wherever we were invited, we told people we are willing to come and speak to people on a volunteer basis, and so the further tragedies could be avoided.
Manjeet, you've mentioned schools, and you've spoken indeed at schools and attended community events for over a decade now, teaching people about the consequences of bullying. What have you seen and heard from parents and children during that time?
I believe that what we see firsthand is that when we speak to young people and teachers and other parents, in a semicircle, face-to-face, it's a very effective method. Because when we are telling our stories, we see the emotions well up. Kids are, you know, crying actually. Their eyes are full of tears. And it really affects them, their emotions. And they start to see that it's not watching something on TV or it's not, you know, the same. When they hear a story, the victims are there and how it affects their lives, it really touches their heart. And then they go away as part of their program and write something. It's called Reflections. And we get the photocopies of those notes, and we are very pleased to see that lots of children make a personal commitment and dedication that they will fight bullying. And, you know, they will not be mean to people, and they have learned a lesson. Even if they have shown those traits in the past, they will work on that. So that's very heartwarming for us that perhaps few lives we are touching this way.
You've developed a DVD for schools to use as well. How's that going?
Yeah, we have developed a DVD with the aid of Heartspeak Productions there on the mainland. And the focus on that is also they have the excerpts from our talking to different kids at different levels of schools and also to the senior students in Simon Fraser University in the criminology department. So it has a few segments in it, age-appropriate, and our experience when we are speaking to kids there, they are recorded there. So we are hoping with this DVD to reach all schools and all libraries. It's such a tool there that they can use it in their programs and kids can view it and have a dialogue at the end, there is a room for that. And physically, sometimes it's impossible to visit all children. So we thought this is perhaps one way the technology could help us.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Jan. We're joined on the phone by Manjeet Virk. His daughter, Rena Virk, was bullied and eventually killed by a group of youths in November 1997. Manjeet and Suman Virk were awarded the Anthony J. Hume Award of Distinction on November the 2nd for their work on behalf of community safety and crime prevention.
In the aftermath of your daughter's death, Manjeet, it was Suman who spoke for the family primarily. And then in 2008, you wrote a book called Rena, A Father's Story. Why did you write this book?
Initially, you know, when the tragedy struck us, I was not in any shape to speak to the media, and I was devastated, and I was depressed, and I just could not basically function. But as the time went by, my doctor put me on antidepressants, and the time actually healed. And then I had all these issues in my mind, and I had not properly grieved yet. So then one of the things I started doing, it started to rot, to have my emotions writing down on a piece of paper, and how I felt or what my hopes and dreams were for my family and how they were derailed forever with the system of things and the circumstances behind them. And then I spoke to somebody that I'm, you know, doing this, just writing my thoughts. And that person encouraged me, actually. He said, just keep writing it. Perhaps this story can be shared one day with the public. And before long ago, it started to take shape, the draft, and they said, you know, this story needs to be told. So I spoke to a publisher, local publisher. He was very much interested in the story. And then we worked on that for a year. And then before we knew, last year it was published.
Manjeet, I read a brief excerpt from your book, and you recounted a number of family trips in your book. And then you wrote the following: looking back, I am amazed at how orderly and happy our life was then, how little we ever imagined that everything we treasured could be ripped asunder. How did you and Suman cope in the days and the months following Rena's death?
That's, you know, question is very valuable and worth deserving, you know, answers. We never thought we are super people or we can go through with it. When we were going through that, skies were dark and, you know, our hearts were just going through gloomy situations and we never thought we'll get out of it. But with public support and all the letters and all the flowers, and when we saw that how much compassion society has for us, and media was very favorable, and then, you know, our personal faith in the Creator also helped us to cope with this difficult time.
Rena's murder has been one of the most widely discussed crimes of our time, and there's been significant media attention over the years. Was your book partly written to correct what you might see as a possible media distortions or mistakes?
Yeah, you know, those were the issues. It was bothering me that when we were going through just burying our daughter, and, you know, some media people were more aggressive and, you know, they had a different approach. So they just wanted a story out and perhaps not as cognizant of our needs to grieve and give us privacy. So all these things were bothering us. But as the time went by, when we spoke to them and we said, you know, you want to get the story, you want the facts there, we are willing to talk to you, but give us some time, let's do it in a decent and organized way. And since then, media has been so helpful, actually, and very respectful. So, and I had to set the record straight, too, because a lot of the things were issues were brought in the media. They were not correct. So the book had different angles, and I tried to also put something about the system, you know, how the system needs improvement, although people have good intentions in the Ministry of Children and Families, but at times their actions can really cause a lot of harm for families.
What has all of this taught you about the needs of youth in our society today?
You know, this has taught us that I feel very strongly sympathetic towards youth, because at times we blame them for what they do, but the underlying causes are more. And, you know, adult being good examples, being the good role model, number one, and to create an environment which is conducive for them to learn and be safe is the second one. Commercialism and, you know, consumerism and peer pressure and all these things are in kids' face today, and they feel that they have this pressure to conform. And some kids can't deal with it, and they just have pent-up anger, and then they lash out in a different way. So those kids' needs have to be addressed. They feel that they are lost, confused, and alienated from society. So as a society, we have to work together to fulfill those needs of our kids and give them an environment where they can thrive in a positive way.
So you could say, I mean, this environment creates the bullier and the victim as well.
Absolutely, you know, because in the school system too, there bullying does take place, and sometimes it's not reported or people are too scared to talk about it. So we tell children that first thing is to speak up against it. When you stay quiet, bullies thrive. So this is a ugly thing which goes on, and it really affects the victim in a horrible way.
Manjeet Virk joins us on People First Radio today. We're talking about his book, Rina, A Father's Story, and about Manjeet and his wife Suman's work to help end bullying and youth violence in our society.
What words could you share with us that would that we could take home and share with our children and our families to help encourage the end of this sort of mindless violence?
You know, I have always believed that keeping life simple is more beneficial, because the system puts a big pressure on young people that you have to have this, you have to have all the gadgets, everything new and big and modern. And in order to achieve that, you know, then they work hard and they use some other means to achieve the things there. It's not the things. First of all, they have to be comfortable within themselves. Designer clothes, not everybody can buy. They have to feel good about themselves. It's not that how they look on the outside, but the qualities they should develop inside. And they mean much more than the outside appearance. And my message to young people is that stay connected with your families. Obey your parents, because mostly sometimes kids have issues with their parents, and parents are imperfect. They are going to make mistakes. But overlook that and say, okay, our parents have their best interest for us. And don't make drastic decisions where you move out of the house or run away from a home. Then the bad things start to happen. And part of the problem in my daughter's murder was that these kids were involved in gang activities. They tried to be tough, and they were alienated, and they had their own culture where they will, on the weekend, regular basis, they will engage in drugs, alcohol, and have large parties and beat up other people, and that made them feel good. So if young people stay away from these negative influences and watch their association wisely, that who they hang out with, and stay with good people and do healthy activities. They go for biking, skiing, walks, do some volunteer work for old people. When they are engaged in those good things, then that is one way to stay away from these negative things.
Manji, we have just a moment left. I'm wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today.
Well, I like to add there, you know, we want to see all young people on the right track. And we also realize that it's not possible unless everybody works together. People, those who are pushing these DVDs and videos and violent movies through the pipe, they have to stop and think about it. If we want peace, peaceful society, why we are building more weapons? If we want our kids to be peaceful, why we are exposing them to all sorts of TV violence, whether it's on video, internet? We have to really start thinking about it, what kind of children we want. They are the product of our making. What we feed them, they will become that tomorrow. And preventing anything in the beginning is worth more than treating it after they have committed a crime. So prevention is the solution. If there is any trace of something, kids need help right away. and society has to work together, not as a divided entity, but together for the benefit of all society. Yet, we believe that things are getting worse, although we have made so much progress in so many areas, but living, the people have so much stress. So it's not that, you know, the system teaches people to how to make a living. It also has to teach people how to live. And once we have achieved that, it will improve itself.
Manjeet Virk, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Manjeet and Suman Virk were recently presented with the Anthony J. Hume Award of Distinction, British Columbia's highest honor for community safety and crime prevention, for their work against bullying and violence. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.